choir and the men's choir. Thank you, Paul. 382. 382 is our opening hymn tonight, page 331. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence, all divine, true, and tender, pure, and precious? Oh, how blessed to call him mine. 382. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's stand to sing. Good singing. Let's unite our hearts together now in prayer. Let's seek God's face. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the one who is the chiefest among 10,000 to our souls. We thank the Lord for the one who is the lily of every valley. We thank the Lord tonight, today, for the one, as we were considering even this morning, the one who is altogether lovely. And we thank thee, O God, for each one in this meeting tonight who are saved. We can say, this is my beloved and this is my friend. We thank the Lord tonight that we are counted amongst the friends of God. While we were enemies to God by nature, while we were far from God, we could do nothing of ourselves to save ourselves. Yet, Lord, we thank thee that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son into this world. We praise thee, O God, that even as we come up to this Christmas season, we are reminded once again of the great truth of the incarnation of Christ, that he who was God yet became man. We thank thee, Lord, today for the one who died for us, the one who lived for us, the one who lives again for us, the one who lives in that power of an endless life, and there at the Father's right hand in glory right now is interceding. We thank thee, Lord, that he has an interest in this gospel meeting. We thank thee, Lord, that he has already been praying today for this gospel service. And eternal God, we pray that, Lord, you'd be pleased to answer prayer. Lord, save souls in this meeting tonight, we pray. Lord, for those who are far from God, for those tonight who are strangers, and Lord, they are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Lord, we pray that tonight you would save them, bring them in, O God, to the church of Jesus Christ. O God, we thank thee tonight for the power of the gospel. We praise thee, Lord, this evening that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses from sin. And it is our prayer, Lord, that even tonight you would be pleased to apply the blood to this meeting house. Lord, defeat the plans of sin and Satan. Realize, O God, that Satan has an interest in this meeting as well. He has that desire to come and to steal away the good seed of the Word of God. He has, Lord, that desire to bring our thoughts and bring our minds, Lord, to everything else and anything else. But, O God, we pray that tonight you'll bind the strong man. O God, we pray that tonight you'll spoil his goods. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for each one in this meeting. Lord, we thank thee for their desire to be found in God's house on the evening of thy day. We praise thee, Lord, tonight that you have not left yourself without a witness. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless our coming together tonight. And Lord, gathering such as this across our city and across our land and across our province. O God, we pray that you'd be pleased, Lord, to bless the faithful preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. O God, we pray that many signs will follow the preaching even tonight. Lord, that souls will be saved. O God, we pray most particularly for our own congregation here. O God, come amongst us in great power and pour out your Holy Spirit. O God, we pray tonight for convicting power. We pray, Lord, tonight for converting power. O God, we pray that this night will be a high night in the life of some unsaved soul. Lord, the night when they'll come by faith, turn away from their sin, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless all that would take place in this meeting tonight. We ask, O God, that as we would sing these hymns together, Lord, that our praise would be acceptable in thy sight. Pray for our brother Peter as he would minister to us in song. We thank thee, Lord, for him. Encourage him, O God, we pray. Lord, as he would travel about many places, Lord, we ask, O God, that you'll keep him safe on the roads. We ask, O God, that you'll keep him in that good health. We ask him, O God, you'll keep him close to thyself as he would minister, Lord, the glorious gospel and song in many different places. And especially tonight as he would sing to us, we pray, Lord, that you'll use him greatly amongst us tonight. May he feel at home amongst us here. May he know the help of God even as he would minister in song this evening. And then, Lord, as we come to the Word of God, it is our prayer, O God, take thy word. And Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, Lord, breathe life into those dead souls tonight, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that thy word will truly be that two-edged sword piercing asunder, O God, we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be pleased to come amongst us and pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. And Lord, do our hearts good. Most of all, it is our desire that through all that would be said and done in this meeting house tonight, thy name and thy name alone would be honored and glorified. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome back our brother Peter Mander, no stranger to us here in Sandown. Always very welcome. Peter, we're glad to have you. We're going to ask you to come minister to us in song just now. Lord bless you.
Burdens seem
We have a God who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as we pass through your times of sorrow and difficulty, he knows what we're going through. And praise God tonight, he is that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. It is our prayer tonight that if you don't know him as your Saviour, and as Peter has said already, what do you do in the times when storms come your way, difficulties come your way, where do you run to? Is our prayer tonight yet run to Christ? Thank you, Peter, very much for this lovely message and song. The Lord bless you. I look forward to hearing from you in just a short time. Let me welcome you all along tonight to our gospel service. We're glad to see each one to make the effort and come out this evening. And we pray God will meet with us and God will speak to all of our hearts. Some of you may remember a lady who used to worship with us here, Mrs. Betty Longridge. Betty passed away and will be buried in the church. Her funeral will be from the church in the early part of this week. Just no details just at the moment. That has just happened, and so we'll try to get those details to you. But Betty, as you know, has not been out for some time now because of age and infirmity. But do remember the family in your prayers, please. So as soon as we know any more details, we'll pass them on to you. We have our early morning prayer meeting on Tuesday at 6 a.m. and then the Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Then also on Tuesday night, there'll be a meeting of our full committee, session and committee. Please remember that Tuesday night at 8. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, our Bible study and prayer meeting. And we continue through the Hebrew lettuce patch, and we come to Hebrews 4 again and to that great passage at the end of that chapter about the great high priest being touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And then it says, let us come boldly. And so we're going to look at that passage this Thursday night, God willing. And as we pray this Thursday night, we will be particularly focusing again in prayer for our province and praying for our land and praying for our nation at this time. Now, you will have received, if you're here this morning, the prayer cards, the prayer points for prayer, particularly for our province. Please take these with you, use them, and if you want to take any more with you, you're more than welcome to use these, pass them out and pass them along to as many people as possible, and we trust there will be some help to each and all in order to direct us and guide us in the matter of prayer. Then on Thursday night, 8 o'clock, our youth fellowship, and we're continuing the series Back to Basics, and Kyle, this Friday night, we'll be speaking on the subject of transgenderism, and we encourage all of our young people, please make every effort, come out and hear what the Bible has to say about the subject. Friday night, 8 o'clock, youth fellowship here in the church. Early morning prayer meeting next Sunday, 7:30, 10:15, the Sabbath school and the Bible classes. 11:30, the morning service, then we have the monthly meeting in the Domhnall Care Home at 3 p.m., and then the gospel service next Sunday night again at 6:30, and God willing, the Lockhart family will be here to sing. As we said this morning, menfolk, we're going to ask you to take part in the Christmas family service on Sunday the 22nd of December, and we'll be starting to practice for that in a couple of weeks' time, Sunday the 1st of December, so please remember that. And then ladies, you'll be singing in the morning service on Sunday the 29th of December, and you'll start to practice next Sunday night. Just when I think about it, men will start to practice next Sunday night as well. All right? So we'll all start at the one time. So we'll just do that next Sunday night. Don't you just love it when I change things? No, you don't. But anyway, so remember that, please, and we encourage as many to take part in those special times of singing. The Sunday School party will be held on Saturday, the 7th of December, and it'll be a combined party this year, the Sandown and Hollywood, children coming together, and that will be over at the Jubilee Hall in the Martyrs. That's Saturday, the 7th of December. Our youth Christmas party will be here in the church Friday, the 13th of December. And then on Sunday, the 15th of December, our Sunday School children will be taking part in the morning service, and our youth fellowship will be taking part in the evening service. That's on Sunday, the 15th of December. There is a special 50th anniversary rally being held in our Martyrs Memorial Church, marking 50 years of the church there. That's on Friday, the 29th of November at 8 p.m. And the preacher will be Dr. William McCrae. And there are some of these cards still here. Please take them with you. And if you're free on that night, that's Friday, the 29th of November. Go along to that special 50th anniversary rally. Let's turn in our hymn books, please, then, to the hymn number 611. As your evening tithes and offerings are received, we'll keep our seats for the opening part anyway. 611, My Heart Can Sing, When I Pause to Remember, A Heartache Here Is But a Stepping Stone. 611, and we'll keep our seats for the opening part of this hymn, please.
As long as rain, as long as
us again the song, please. Thank you. Thank you very much again for your help, your ministry, and song tonight, and what a wonder that God should love me, wretched, vile, sinner by nature, sinner by practice, yet he loved me for the love that drew salvation's plan. Thank you very much indeed, Peter. The Lord bless you and continue to be with you as you minister for the Master. We're turning again tonight to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. A few weeks ago we started a little short series on what we've entitled We Creature Preachers, and seeing what some of the creatures in the Word of God have to say to us and what they preach to us, because they do preach some very vital truths. We're turning to Proverbs chapter 30 tonight, again verse 24. Just a short scripture reading, Proverbs chapter 30, and the verse 24, it says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces." Amen. We'll end there at verse 28. Verse 26 is where we want to center our thoughts upon tonight. We want to, this evening, consider the conies, as we have them there in verse 26. Now, it's not the coonies. Just in case you're wondering, I'm not talking about a cult or a sect tonight, or the McCooies. That's another one altogether. If you don't know what the McCooies are, you may ask Derek Graham. He was the one who introduced me to the McCooies. So I'm not still quite sure what the McCooies are, but not the McCooies, not the Coonies, but the Conies, these little creatures that we want to look at tonight. The Conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Let's fill our hearts, please, in a word of prayer, and let's seek for God's blessing upon the preaching of his word tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the reminder again tonight that it was for me, yes, all for me, the only earthly reason that God should send his Son into this world. It was for a sinner such as me. And O God, we lift our hearts in praise to thee tonight, that once again we've been reminded that the Lord loved us, and the Lord sent his Son. And Lord, we thank thee tonight for the messages and song to our souls. We thank the Lord for help given to thy dear servant as he has brought them to us. Lord, continue to be with him, encourage him, bless him, to your wife and family at this time. And O God, we pray now that as we come to the Word of God, it is our prayer, Lord, you would be pleased to speak to us. O God, tonight come, minister to us out of the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight as we take the Word of God, and as, Lord, we would decide and consider the Word of God tonight, Lord, it is our prayer, Lord, that you be pleased to speak, particularly, Lord, tonight, to any who are here out of Christ. O God, we pray tonight for the power of God to rest upon this preacher. Lord, I need help tonight. Help like never before to preach thy word. O God, I pray that tonight you'll give us that help. We need help, Lord, to preach. We need help to hear. Eternal God, we pray that sinners this night will hear, and Lord, that they'll hear that effectual call of God in salvation, and that they will be brought by irresistible grace to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. So bless us, we pray. Continue, Lord, thy blessing, Lord, as we come to the Word of God. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Coney Island is a peninsula, formerly an island in Brooklyn, New York. And while there is some discussion as to how that part of New York got its name, yet many believe it was when many European and particularly English people came to New York some centuries ago. And when they came, they found that part of Brooklyn almost entirely inhabited by little creatures, little rabbits or small badgers. And the English name for these little creatures, these rock badgers, these little rabbit-type creatures were conies. And so the name Coney Island was developed and then adopted as the official name for that part of Brooklyn. Coney was a small creature, smaller than a rabbit. In fact, some say it's some sort of cross between a rabbit and a badger, although much smaller than both of these. And tonight, as we continue this short series on these little creature preachers, we want to see and learn more about them. Tonight, again, we want to open the book of nature and consider some of God's wonderful creation and see how that God speaks to us and indeed challenges us from those creatures that he has created. So tonight it is the turn of the coney, another creature which be small on the earth, but is exceedingly wise. And tonight there are some gospel lessons that we want to draw as we consider the conies tonight. I want you to see, first of all, with me, the danger that they are in. The danger that they are in. Scripture refers to them there in verse 26 as but a feeble folk. As with the ant that we considered a few weeks back, the coney is not a powerful creature. It's not any great creature of prey. It's not a predator. They're weak, they're helpless, they're exposed. And just as with the ant, this weakness speaks to us of the weakness of people by nature. Because remember, the Lord is using parallel language here to draw parallels between the creature and mankind, because he says the conies are but a feeble folk. He describes them as people to draw that comparison with the people of humanity. Now, as we think of the danger that the coney is in, I want you to consider, first of all, with me, that they're in danger, first of all, because of their condition. If you turn away back to the Old Testament and to the book of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus and the chapter 11, we find another reference to this creature, the coney. Leviticus chapter 11 and the verse 5. Leviticus chapter 11 and the verse 5. And there we read, "And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you." Now in Leviticus chapter 11, we find that the conies are identified as one of those unclean animals in the ceremonial system that could not be eaten because it was unclean. And of course, there were other animals that were unclean, but then there were other animals later on in the latter part of the chapter that could be eaten because they were clean. Now, what the Lord was doing there in Leviticus chapter 11, drawing a distinction between the unclean and the unclean, he was not referring ultimately to man's diet. But I believe he is referring to the difference that there is in mankind. That there are those who are clean, washed, cleansed through the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross, but then there are still those who are unclean by nature. Of course, we're all unclean by nature. We're all born in sin. We're all separated from God. There's nothing good in any one of us. You see, today there are only two classes of people in this world. Humanity, in the sight of a holy God, is not divided by religion. Humanity is not divided by status. Humanity is not decided by wealth or by race. No, the only class of people in this world, in the sight of God, are those who are in Christ, saved, cleaned, washed in his blood, or those who are still in their sin by nature, still unclean, still defiled, still ruined by sin. And you see, it's that sin that we were all born with by nature that brings spiritual weakness and feebleness. The conies are but a feeble folk. Sin. Sin makes the sinner unable to do anything to help himself. Sin brings helplessness. Sin brings hopelessness. And tonight, if you're here without Christ in this meeting, you are helpless, you are hopeless, you are weak tonight before Almighty God. You have no power to save yourself. You have no ability tonight to try to transform your life. You might think you're strong enough in yourself. You might think tonight that you're strong enough because of who you are, what you are, your upbringing, your attendance perhaps even at this church. But tonight in the eyes of Almighty God, if you're still in your sin and still out of Christ, then you are weak, you are feeble. And if you die in your sin and you go out to meet God in your sin, you will realize like never before just how weak and how unable you are to withstand the judgment of God that will come upon you for your sin. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would see your feebleness. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would see your hopelessness without the Lord. See your condition tonight. See that tonight you are a sinner, condemned and unclean, as the hymn writer says. And as a result of seeing your condition, see your danger. These little creatures, they were in danger because of their condition. But they were also in danger because of their capture. You see, out in the open, the conies have no natural defense or strength to ward off the prey. These little creatures would have been good prey for the birds of prey, especially. Their size made them very vulnerable to predators, most especially the birds. And they could have so easily been swooped on and taken as food by many larger birds and other animals. And so they were vulnerable to capture and ultimately to death. Does that not describe the sinner tonight? You're vulnerable. You're exposed. You're open to the devices of Satan. Sin and Satan tonight has you in his grip. You're in captivity tonight. You're in bondage tonight. You're under a death threat tonight. Every time those little creatures went out into the open, they were under a death threat. At any second, a bird of prey or an animal could have come and taken them, and their life would have been cut off. And tonight, sinner, we draw the gospel parallel. You are under a far greater death threat than any creature or any animal. Tonight you are under the death threat of Almighty God, damned in your sin to be lost in hell for all eternity. Tonight sin blinds you to the real fact that you're in captivity. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about the sinner being dead in trespasses and sin. There's your spiritual death. And then there is your spiritual direction. You walked according to the course of this world. Your spiritual deception, your spiritual depravity, the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the mind, and then there's your spiritual doom, whereby nature the children of wrath. Children of disobedience. You see, tonight in your sin, you're in captivity. Tonight in your sin, you're under condemnation. The wrath of God. The wrath of God this very night abides upon your head. Some will tell us that wrath of God, judgment of God, well, we will not see it until the judgment throne. We'll see it there in its fullest sense and its clearest sense. But right now, as you sit in this meeting tonight, if you're out of Christ, there's a death sentence on your head. He that believeth not is condemned already. You are fit for the flames of hell this very night. And it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that you're not already doomed. The wrath of God abideth upon your head. And sinner, tonight you are in eternal danger. Sinner, tonight you're in spiritual darkness and depravity. You're only a breath away from hell. Only a step away from a lost eternity. A heartbeat away from the flames of hell. What danger you're in tonight. And oh, that tonight you would see that awful danger. The danger not of losing your body, the danger of losing your soul. Consider the conies and see the danger that they are in by nature. See your sin tonight. Consider the conies and consider the danger that they're in because of their environment, their open prey. Listen tonight. Satan has only one desire for your soul, and that is to damn you. And that is to bring you down to destruction and a lost eternity for all eternity. That's what he's about. But thank God tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to set the captive free. The one who has come to give life, everlasting life, abundant life. Oh, that tonight you would see the danger that you were in by virtue of your sin. Not only the danger here, but I want you to see as well, as we consider verse 26 again of Proverbs 30, the danger, but now the discernment that they show. Verse 26 talks about the conies yet make their houses in the rocks. You see, they understand the danger they're in. They understand that they're feeble. They understand they're weak. They understand that at any time they could be taken prey. And they see the birds of prey not as some grand, magnificent birds, but rather they see them as the very means of their death, the very agents that at any time could destroy them and destroy all that they have. Do you know tonight, Satan in this world is painted as some grand individual. Sin is glossed up. Sin is painted up. Sin is presented as grand and glorious, something to be desired. Oh, but tonight, listen, Satan is a hard taskmaster. Satan desires that your soul would be brought down to destruction. And these little creatures, these conies, they see those birds of prey not as some grand thing, but as the very things that could destroy them. And so they make preparation to avoid that. Just as the ant that made preparation in the summer, and they prepared their meat in the summer, as we saw in verse 26. They gather enough food for a time when it would be impossible to gather food. These little creatures show great wisdom and understanding. They discern the danger and they prepare for the danger. Oh, sinner, tonight, that you would be wise. And that you would flee from the danger that you're in. That this evening you would do something about that danger. You would make preparation. Have you prepared for the day of your death? Have you prepared? We live in a world of death all around us. Death is nothing new. And yet when you go to funerals and you talk to people at funerals, you would think they're going to live forever. Someday, one day, we all will pass the way of death. Have you made preparation for that day? Have you been wise tonight? Do you understand the awful peril that you are in tonight? Have you made preparation for the day of your death? Are you in Christ tonight? You think of the parable of the 10 virgins. They were awaiting the arrival of the groom, who was Christ. The coming of Christ drew near, but it seemed to tarry. And five of those ladies had not made the preparation that was needed, and they ran out of oil, and they failed to be wise, and they failed to make the preparation, but still they hoped that they could borrow some oil from some of the others. And they showed little wisdom in the matter of preparation. Five were wise, five were foolish. And then when Christ came, five foolish were shut out of the wedding feast. And realizing their doom, realizing the awful situation they were in, they cried, "Lord, Lord, open to us." The Lord said, "I know you not." They didn't make preparation. They were just living for time, not for eternity. You can make all the preparations for the day of your death by going into a solicitor's office, getting all your matters in place. But listen, there's not one thing you have in this world that you will take with you into the next apart from one thing: your soul. Your soul. How is it tonight with your soul? How is it tonight with you? Have you made preparation? Wouldn't it be an awful thing, a terrible thing, if you, having sat in this church, heard your need to be saved, heard your need to be right with God and make that preparation, wouldn't it be an awful thing if you were to be shut out of heaven? Wouldn't it be an awful thing if you were almost there? Almost there. Those times when you were under great conviction of sin and you were so close, so near, but yet not in. Oh, sinner, tonight, be wise. Sinner, this evening, make that preparation and make it now. Because God calls in grace. He issues the invitation tonight. He calls you to be wise. He warns you tonight, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Death were to come to you tonight, and it can, where would you be? Where would you be 5 minutes after you die? Oh, tonight be wise. Could it be said of you as it was said of the city of Jerusalem? As the Lord looked over that city and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." And he said, "How often would I have gathered thee as a mother gathers her children as a hen gathereth her chickens, but ye would not." How often the Lord called to you. How often the Lord pleaded with you, and the Spirit of God strived with you to be right with God, but ye would not. Oh, tonight, realize, be wise, understand the great danger you're in. And tonight, make preparation for the day of your death. The danger that these little creatures were in. The discernment that they showed, they made that preparation. But as we close tonight, I want you to see the defense that they enjoyed. These little creatures were wise. They knew their danger. They had discernment. And so from the vultures that would destroy them, they made preparation in the rocks and the mountains around them. Verse 26, yet they make their houses in the rocks. They fled to refuge. They fled to a place of safety. They hid themselves in that rock. They covered themselves in that rock. They were defended from the prey, those animals that would devour them and destroy them. They enjoyed defense and deliverance from them in the rocks. Because you see, the conies were no match for the eagle or the vulture or the wild animals. And so they found safety, they found refuge, not in themselves, but in the rock. In the rock. Oh, what a word picture is described there. What a wonderful depiction of the only place of safety and refuge for the sinner. The psalmist especially speaks much of the rock, the shelter in the rock, the safety in the rock, the security in the rock. He says, the Lord is my defense and God is the rock of my refuge. He finds safety from the hounds of hell that would destroy him. He finds safety in his sin in Christ Jesus, the only place of refuge. Sinner, realize the danger you're in under the wrath of God. Exposed tonight for that wrath. You're in danger of that wrath falling on you tonight and being cast into hell for all eternity. Because be assured, there is a day of judgment. Jeremiah speaks about a whirlwind of the Lord going forth in fury. And in Jeremiah 29, in the verse 19, we read, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And tonight there's a whirlwind of God's wrath abiding upon your head, sinner. And at any moment that wrath could fall. And the fury and the anger of God upon you because of your sin could fall and you'd be swept into everlasting destruction in that whirlwind. But tonight, get to safety. Tonight, get to Christ. Tonight, be ready. You need to flee from the wrath that is to come. If weather warnings are issued, and people are told to take precautions or don't go out, batten down the hatches. Oh, they'll do everything. Places will be shut down. But yet you tell sinners to get to Christ. They just carry on regardless. Heed the word of God tonight. Flee to Christ for refuge. Those rocks that the conies found safety in, they were provided by God. Who made the rocks? The Lord, the creator of all things. And tonight, this refuge that you need for your soul is divinely appointed, divinely provided by a triune God in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That divinely appointed way of refuge tonight, where you can flee from the wrath of God, is found in Christ, found in His atoning death. That divinely appointed refuge tonight is found in the one who on the cross of Christ, the cross of Calvary, bore your sin, bore the wrath of God for your sin, endured the whirlwind of God's wrath for your sin, was separated from God for your sin, cut off from the Father for your sin, endured hell on the cross for your sin. That's the only way to escape the wrath of God. That's the only way to flee, and the only place to flee to. These little creatures, they make their houses in the rocks. I trust tonight I pray tonight that these little creatures, not place of safety, they find security. But what about you? What about you? Where are you making your home tonight? I'm not talking about your home down here, but your place of residence in eternity. Where are you placing your confidence in for eternity tonight? Because listen, when it comes to the time of death, it's either heaven or hell. There is no in-between. There is no state of soul sleep. There is no purgatory. It's either with Christ or without Christ. It's either in God's heaven or God's hell. Where tonight have you found safety? Maybe you think tonight I found safety in all that I do, all that I am. You'll not be able to plead anything of yourself before God. Tonight you need to get to Christ. You need to get to the cross. You cannot make your own refuge. You cannot withstand the wrath of God yourself. But God has provided that refuge for your soul in His work on the cross. It's Him you need to get to tonight. Are you in Christ tonight? Are you saved? Are you exposed to all the wrath and the storms of the wrath of God? Consider the coney tonight. Consider the danger. See the danger your eternal soul is in of being lost in eternity, a lost eternity for all of time. Consider their discernment. They were wise. They made preparation. Consider the defense. They found it in the rock. Oh, that tonight you would flee to that rock which is Christ Jesus. Oh, that tonight you would flee to the refuge that He provides. That tonight you would be redeemed by that great salvation that He has provided for you. Consider the coney. Consider your life. And tonight, get to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting tonight, the question must be asked, how is it with your soul? Is your soul tonight safe? In the cleft of the rock in Christ? Are you still tonight exposed to God's wrath because you're still in your sin, refused salvation? Oh, tonight, if that is the case, you're still under great danger. Oh, that tonight you get to that only place of refuge, you get to Christ, get to the cross. If you have a concern, and tonight you want to put things right in your life, you want to get saved, then you can do that. Do it now. You want to speak to myself or someone else, do that. But this evening, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure tonight you're in Christ. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the lessons that we can learn from these little creatures made of God, made by God. And our Father, we pray tonight that as we have considered the conies, we've considered, Lord, the danger that they were in, we pray, God, tonight, sinners in this meeting, realize the danger that they are in, condemned already. We ask, O God, tonight that sinners will show great discernment and wisdom, that they'll make that preparation and that they'll get to the only defense for their soul that's found alone in Christ. O God, we pray, bring the sinner to thyself. Speak far beyond the voice of this preacher. Speak, O God, with thy voice. May the Holy Spirit strive tonight. May the Spirit of God save some lost soul in this meeting. Speak on, O God, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in closing tonight to the hymn number 260. Hymn number 260.